what I learned with that specific series of trades in that product over the course of June was how great that kind of an opportunity is when you catch something rotating through this really large value that it's built over a number of not just months, but you know, you could go back, you know, a couple of years.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address. Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach-churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. I should probably start the event too, just in case anybody wants to join us here.
All right, let me wiggle this one more time,
real quick. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, how is everybody doing? Hello and welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I'm your host Kyle. Joining me in the shop today, I got Bear and Baba. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great, Kyle.
Doing great. How was bingo night,
dude? Bingo was a lot of fun. It ended in pandemonium.
Okay. Like, what? How's that?
Well, because the last round was a full card to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So every square.
Oh, blackout.
Yeah, blackout. And the bingo caller person didn't have all of the the things in the wheel, so she called everything she had, and no one had won. It was a good time. I don't know what happened. She thinks she dropped one or something. So then she was like, "Okay, if you find the, you know, whatever on the ground, then," because it was outside.
Yeah.
She's like, "If you find the last one on the ground, then you win or whatever." And my kids went looking for it, and then my one daughter took her card up there like a genius and checked to see if she had missed anything.
Yeah.
She had missed one, and she only had that one left, so she marked it off and
nice
yelled bingo.
Nice.
So she won $20.
Nice.
Sweet.
Which one was this?
Finley. So this is going into fourth grade.
All right. Yeah, it's still, that's nice.
$20. Oh, yeah, and it's like, I sent you a picture, Kyle, the place is like a, it's just like a gathering spot in our town. Like, they have food trucks and drinks and, you know, games for the kids. And they have a trolley that will take you all around to the different restaurants and POIs in the downtown area of our little town.
Dude, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. And they have karaoke there. They have wing eating competitions and all kinds of stuff. So it's a good time.
Ah. Got the weekend off. Daughter's got the weekend off. We're thinking we're going to have to do something fun like that this weekend.
Dude, I mean, highly recommend.
I don't know if we can make it out there, but we're looking at the Cahokia Mounds they got out here near us. It's like an Indian ruins. Cahokia Mounds.
Dude. Yeah, for sure, dude.
That stuff looks really cool. We'll go check that out. But
nice.
It's been way too hot lately to do anything around here.
Oh, and that was the other thing. You asked me about the weather.
Yeah, that's so why
they have fans mounted behind where I was sitting.
Yeah.
They keep the air moving, which is nice. But also, we got a rain shower. And normally during the summer when we get a rain, when it stops, it's, incredibly muggy and it makes it, 20 degrees hotter. But tonight, thankful for the fact that we got a rain shower and it just hit at the right time. And as the sun was going like down a little bit, and so it just cooled it off like 10 degrees. Nice. And it was so pleasant. It was a perfect temperature.
When you get a good rainstorm that comes through, that the temperature drop you get from that is, because it always, it's got that like that fresh feel of like water.
It was a vibe.
Ah, I love that feeling.
Yep. Cold, crispy beer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Sounds like you had a fun night.
Yeah. And Bear, it looks like nice. You've made some progress in the background, unless you're in a right? different spot.
Yeah.
This is another house he's building.
No, just the one house. But I did last weekend, I got all my doors installed. I still need to go back in all but one. And, you know, I still need to go back and stain them. Because I did all pine doors. I love these pocket doors. Oh my gosh, they're so
those
fun.
Those are nice. Yeah.
So much better than having to shim and fit, you know, into a rough opening too.
Yeah.
You know, actually, it was about the same as far as the challenge of installing them. Honestly, I was really careful when I did my openings, so that whole shim and fit piece was pretty simple, I think. There's only one hallway in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's my office on one side of the hallway and there's the utility room on the other side of the hallway. And I was like, you know, when I was doing the design, I'm like, dude, I don't want a door taking up a big chunk out of these two rooms.
Oh, yeah.
So I put pocket doors in because they're basically opposite each other. And it's like, oh, cool. So I got a nice wide 36-inch door and it doesn't take up any space at all in my office. Or the utility room.
Did you make it big enough you can get your desk in? That's the thing I always forget.
I still... Oh, gosh. That was last week's adventure. My ancient IKEA standing desk died.
Oh, no.
At the bottom position. Like 20 inches off of the ground. and I mean, just tall enough that you couldn't even sit on the floor. You had to like find something... Yeah, I was sitting on a UPS for like 2 days. And I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. So unfortunately, there was 4th of July sales going on. So I hit Office Depot and got this like really cool carbon fiber gaming desk. Standing gaming desk with like lights and cup holders and head. It's cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
When's it show up?
So
is that a Prime deal?
No, this was just Office Depot. This was the week before Prime. It was just 4th of July sale.
I've been driving my wife nuts with I've been moving around a lot and upstairs. I got a laptop that I like to work on when I'm not doing trading stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So normally I'm like on the coffee table. I had it set up there. I had like a double, like extra monitor set up and everything. So it's like real splayed out. Then I got tired of sitting on the coffee table. So then I moved it to like the pub table. And then for the pub table, I was on the nice recliner couch for a couple of days. And then I was on the breakfast bar area. She's like, you got to pick a spot and like, that's it. Like you can have like one. You can't have the whole freaking house. I'm getting tired of picking
that's
all
like
your shit
up.
That's
like me on vacation. When we go on vacation, I take one screen and a laptop.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes I'll have like the screen and the laptop. And I'll come waddling in with both and set it up like on the bar. And then I might move it to the coffee table or whatever. It's the same thing. My wife's like,
yep. Oh,
you need to put that in one place. And that's where it's going to stay.
I think it's less the laptop and more like the surrounding mess that comes
with
it. The
screen and stuff. Yeah.
No, like the bowl of chips. The water cup.
Snack tray.
Yeah, and all the stuff on the floor that accumulates to.
The charcuterie board. The dirty socks.
right.
No. I'm gonna skip the portable monitor. This last trip was enough. Convince me, but my next tech investment is going to be some of the AR glasses. So they just look like sunglasses, but they've got screens built into them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just plug them into the computer, just USB-C, plug them into the computer, and you get like, you know, giant.
I really wanted
giant monitor.
I would have loved to have had something like that when I was troubleshooting
in the sub.
Well, no, like just anytime someone would call me at home, like needing help troubleshooting something, man, how nice would it have been that they could have just stuck on a headset and be like, oh, now I see what you're looking at. Okay. Type in this, go to this rung on this program, double click on that icon.
so much easier than trying to do it over the phone blind.
Yeah, these aren't for doing that, but they're just, you know, basically to just provide you a virtual monitor.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, so, man, I wonder if there is a market in there now.
There's got to be. I haven't played with them, but I was just at corporate for the week, and my boss's boss had the.
I was at corporate for the week.
Corporate. Oh, dude, I was in the money, Irvine, Orange County.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, just ridiculous amount of money sitting there. You go to dinner and you can't walk to the restaurant because the valet's clogged up with freaking Lambos and.
Jeez.
I don't know how that is.
Lambos and Ferraris and freaking Land Rovers. And you're like, God.
Who checks their Lambo?
And then, you know.
No.
Everybody. And then even the hotel, though. I mean, I walk up one day. I'm like, what is it? Oh, that's a Lamborghini SUV. Okay.
Wait, they make. That's stupid.
The Urus?
Yeah. It's like the port when Porsche made SUV. When Porsche started making the SUVs. Like, what's the point? Why? It's supposed to be a performance vehicle.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I was getting flashbacks to Dubai when I saw somebody took this like beautiful freaking Ferrari and had it converted into a station wagon. it looked original
with like panels.
They did an amazing job,
like the pea green.
No, not a Woody. Not a Woody. Good lord, just a long back.
Dang. All right, that would have been amazing.
So I did want to track back on the bingo for a minute. So every spring, the fire department, our volunteer fire department, we do a big bingo fundraiser. And usually I get to like hide out around the corner and run the board, you know, so it's like, you know, flip the switches to light up, you know, what balls are coming up. And this year, the guy that pulls the balls and calls, he conveniently had a sore throat. And they're like, oh, hey, yeah, you call. I'm like, okay. So, yeah, I spent 4 hours. But this is really relevant to trading. Because the randomness, everybody's like, oh, random. Yeah, I'm pulling balls out of one of these, you know, big circular air blown bingo ball machines. We'd sometimes get like 2-3 numbers in a row.
Yeah.
And you know, what people want random to be and what random actually is, I think are two very different things.
Why am I having this conversation like again for the second time today? Like, I literally just had this conversation with Sean Sawyer. Yeah. We were talking about.
Oh, wow.
There's like a whole site. And he apparently found the same one that I found a couple of years ago, like just talking about how difficult it is to truly create something random and people accepting that for being random. If your CD player was truly random when you put it on, like pick a song randomly, there'd be times you get the same song 3 times in a row. Like, that'd drive people insane. But that's truly random then, right?
Yes, it is. It is. And trust me, this has been I've been in IT for decades. This has always been a hot topic because cryptography and all of that stuff all revolves around your ability to source random numbers.
Mm.
And computers innately actually can't generate random numbers.
Yeah, don't they like just take it up the timestamp?
Nothing. No, like nothing sort of truly random.
Like there's like a cheat they do, like grabbing like the fine.
You use that as a seed, but all it does is it gets you something pseudo-random, that looks random, but it's not actually random. It is technically predictable.
Huh.
And that's where you get stuff to, you know, all your really hardcore crypto people, your serious Bitcoiner types. The favorite one is you buy a whole bunch of lava lamps and set them up on a wall and point a camera at them. And then you're using the data from the camera from the lava lamps is one of the best truly random number sources they've found.
So how does Vegas do it?
How so?
Well, I mean, if anybody's going to have perfected it, it's going to be, you know, the casinos, right?
Right. And all those machines. I mean, they have chips that, you know, they generate enough randomness to satisfy the gaming commission.
Right.
But.
I don't like the way you said
computers,
that.
Computers, that's all it comes down to is, do you meet the spec? And there's like whole fields of mathematics around pseudo random numbers and proving them and generating them. And yeah, my expertise. Just one of those things that I've had to deal with a few times.
Is there like a ASIT like standard for randomness, like a paper out there we can look up that?
I'm sure there's more than one.
Right, I'm going to go on that rabbit hole this weekend, but I won't bore the rest of the audience on that one.
Do you have fun with that?
I'm really curious to see how you measure that as a standard.
There's legit measurements for it.
Should I talk about some show news, I guess, real quick? Get that out of the way.
Yeah, show news. Maybe a little trading or something.
Yeah,
What's trading?
Yeah, all right. Well, the only thing I really got to say is that the next week's episode is going to be the Greed episode with Sean Sawyer, part of that new miniseries we're doing on the trading emotions. And that if anybody wants to get in there and join us in those recordings, just shoot me or Sean or even Bear an email or a message, DM something. Yeah, we'll get you in there. The only thing we ask is that you participate if you do join. I'm going to be less salty with that one because I almost started a war in Sean's room. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, I have a timing conflict, but I'll have to see if I can figure something out for at least part of the episode.
Oh, I told.
Yeah, I love Sean talking about greed. That's a favorite subject.
I told the other fellas in there, as long as you're liking the episodes, I consider that participation. So if you can't make the recording, either submit questions ahead of time or at least champion the episode when it goes out, one or the other.
Nice.
That's all I got. You guys got anything you want to share news-wise?
I don't have anything new to promote.
Well, why don't we talk about some trading then?
All right, let's talk about it.
Has anybody done... How many trades did everybody place today? Let's get your number real quick, and then let's all shout it out in the same time.
Today or this week?
This week. The entire week.
Oh, okay.
Give me just a minute. I'm gonna
how do I track multiple accounts?
Oh, just don't do the multiple accounts. Just say, like... If you were copying between them or whatever.
So I traded funded accounts that were copied.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a combine account, a Lucid trading account that I was playing around with that I overtraded.
Remind me to ask you about Lucid because I think that I wanted to ask you a few questions about that one.
Okay.
All right. You guys ready? Got your numbers?
Got my number.
Baba?
Yes.
All right. Ready?
8.
1.
One, that's it. After all that, after all that lead up, it was one trade.
One in my funded account.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
I don't want to know how many I took in my Lucid account.
Okay, fair enough. 8 trades, Bob. That's very light for you.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
So we've all been kind of less is more. It seems like this past couple weeks, at least for me,
it's been very refreshing.
Very much so. The last, since the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. For about a month. Yeah. I mean, I traded more when, up until, I still traded a good bit through June and when Platinum kind of got above 1291 and 1352 were like my two like big spots for that. So that happened right into, the end of June. And then I haven't really.
I think that was the last thing we talked about was your Platinum trading.
Be bold Platinum. Be bold Platinum. It was good. I enjoyed, I haven't really traded many other products over the last couple of years, really with any, regularity. So, yeah. What was cool is when I was at the beach, I think I mentioned this before, but I just started looking for just across multiple assets where things were. And so with where that product was, I was like, oh, this seems like an easier trade to nibble the long side, to just have a bullish bias and nibble the long side for the next, until we achieve these targets. Not meaning I should have played some options. Plays or something as well, but whatever. Anyway, so that was fun. And then this week I actually did trade NASDAQ all 8 trades were NASDAQ trades. That was kind of easy. I mean, I don't want to like, but it was just nice. So simple.
Can I ask, like, what for me, like the reason why the trading has slowed down a lot is just because I've been cutting out a lot of the stuff that just hasn't been performing as well. Like, I've really been taking a knife to the setups of the things that I'm allowing myself to trade. So it's really come down to like, there's like one or two things now that I really let myself do. And if they don't present themselves, then I mean, that's it. I'm not going to sit around and wait for something that's not going to happen.
Sure.
So for me, it's just been cutting a lot of stuff out. Is it kind of similar for you, or is it just more just not needing to spend the time in front of the computer?
Well, so I think being free to not spend as much time.
Yeah.
Be one thing. Trade duration has been a little higher, but not crazy. It's a little bit skewed by an overnight position I held. So this week's trading with the minimal number of trades, and then I held a trade for I was over 4 hours.
Okay.
So, you know, from that standpoint, the trade time was skewed, you know, towards the I guess like springtime into the summer, or really like late winter into springtime, there was a lot of work with, hourly statistics and things like that, that I enjoyed a lot. So I've just continued to kind of, function inside of that grid, I guess, a little bit. And then I tell you the thing that's like, I hate to admit this, and you know, it is what it is, but not running a room has really alleviated like any like impulse to like need to do something. So I don't think being in the room affected my performance overall, like in the grand scheme of things. But I think I did feel and was not aware of how much it crept over into actually doing things. I did feel some type of pressure or like expectation that I would be active from 9:30 to 11:30. And looking at like trade time, like when these trades have, I don't even want to go look at all that, but like not a lot of my, not so much of my best trades were originated necessarily right off the open.
That's what I've been finding. I mean, I basically wait for the first 30 minutes to set now. I don't even get up and watch the open anymore.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So I think that's something to consider. I did take a 30-second, I was informed by the opening range, yesterday because it was, I think a no tick, on NASDAQ, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was on ES, too, cause I did try the, short, made a stop on that one.
Today's 30-second opening range had that, look above and fail kind of setup.
Yep.
That was also, what was interesting about that is, with some of the other statistics, like when it's most most likely for a day to make a high that stays or to make a low that stays. Like there's definitely statistical chunks of time where a low or high of day is more common than others, which we are all generally aware of that. And so looking at that even like as a daily candle was kind of developing and just thinking, okay, what's likely? And I thought, oh, it's pretty likely this would be a good time to go make a new low and then actually turn around and trade higher for the afternoon. Now, I mean, I didn't sit around for the whole day, so I took a downside trade off the open. But to get back to the original, why trading so less, like I just, I've really enjoyed like a lot more time with my family, like my kids being out of school. We were talking about that. Like, how many summers do I have left with my oldest daughter? Four more summers. That's it. And then she goes to college and that's it. And that's also allowed me to do a lot more things like I've taken my daughter every week this week to farm camp. So there's a farm close to here that does a camp for kids. So every morning we've gotten to get up, go like grab a Gatorade at the gas station, drive over to farm camp, you know, drop her off, talk to the people, whatever. You know, I wouldn't be able to do that if I had to be at the desk.
Right.
And I also just don't feel like I am not worried about missing anything.
Yeah.
And I think the trading, when retail, especially, we all tend to typically spend a lot of time in front of the screen, and you're looking for an opportunity that's going to last, let's just say, 10 minutes. You're looking for a 10-minute opportunity. You know, I'm making that time up, but let's just say, you know, but you're there for, you know, you're there for 120 or 180 or 240 minutes to find 10 minutes that fits your criteria. And I just don't really worry about missing. I used to really be bothered by missing the open. I'd really be bothered by different things like that. And now, since I've not been like running a morning show, I just, you know, I don't care. I mean, if something's going on, or if I'm sitting on the back porch drinking coffee and talking to my wife, I'm not going to stop and run in here and trade the open.
Right. You're not going to hear that warning bell. Ooh, 5 minutes, run, run.
No. And like, that is a little bit selfish, because like, I'm sure that doing a morning run through a morning plan and all of that stuff for people is appreciated, or was appreciated to some extent. But man, I feel like I feel so flexible, and so like I can trade whatever I want, whenever I want. And so therefore it doesn't matter, because there's an opportunity. There's always going to be something else. Yeah. And yeah. It's really easy to say that now. And it was easy to say that before, but not as easy to function. Like, that was so true. So like, I would love to catch another, like, I have another spot on Platinum where I would think, okay, now we're probably going to make this next big leg to a certain direction. But until we get to that, like, I'm not even looking at Platinum, right?
Yeah.
Nothing to do. But there's probably smaller time frame stuff to do. But what I learned with that specific series of trades in that product over the course of June was how great that kind of an opportunity is when you catch something rotating through this really large value that it's built over a number of, not just months, but you know, you could go back, you know, a couple of years. And as we started to rocket from the low of that value, it was just like, we know where we're wrong and right, and we're just going to nibble the long side. NASDAQ is not really in a place that's quite like that right now, as we have all experienced. Although there was some great statistic type trades that presented themselves over the week. But yeah, man, I just feel like I've kind of shrugged off any pretense about any of it, and when I have to be here and blah, 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 like
I gotta say, like, since everything got shut down, and not feeling the need to be there at 8:30 in the morning either has been pretty freeing for myself as well. I didn't realize how much.
You really didn't. I didn't either.
I didn't realize that I didn't need to be there. I didn't need to be there every day.
That's the thing. Yeah. There have been more days in the last month that I haven't even looked at the computer than in the last 2 years. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, even if, you know, the holy grail of the open trade is that, you know, no tick, go R, trend day. And how often do those even really pop up?
30% maybe, right?
I think
it's not very often.
I think it's a lot less than that. And lately, there's been so many days where all it does is just sit here and consolidate for the first 60 to 90 minutes and then go directional.
But see, that's why, I mean, all I do is I just wait for it to get above or below the 30-minute high. If it starts rotating, then I'm just going with whatever direction. Yep. And man, it works like 50% of the time. And then if you throw in a few more qualifiers, like if I see the 30-second, the 5-minute, the 15-minute, and the 30-minute all stacking, now we're talking about 70% win rate. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
Why do I want anything else? This is all I need. Just lean into this thing, and that's it.
Yeah. trade smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't even know if, like, I'll say criteria-wise, not a lot has changed other than I'm just a little generally more selective. I mean, I'll pass on something for, you know, just I'll be like, yeah.
This doesn't look like the way it looks like when it's working really well.
And then I think the other thing is just I'm not putting myself in front of the screen so much that I think my ability to make decisions is much sharper.
Yeah.
So I'm not in front of the screen for 4 hours every day. I'm not checking the charts as much in the evenings. So when I do sit down and say, where are we? I can give an honest, very objective view of where we are for a given moment in time,
mm-hmm.
and quickly come to the conclusion if there's an opportunity for me to participate in the next few minutes, or if I'm just going to need to wait for an hour.
Aren't those the best trades? It seems like those ones where you walk by and you're like, oh shit, that looks like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's like, like last night, for instance, I was short. What I had said was, what I had like written down as I was freaking getting ready to do some trading, is I was like, you know what would be nice? We were down here at like, we had already made that big plunge.
Okay. I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That nice little NQ waterfall.
What was the, what caused that?
Yeah,
one,
we had made that plunge.
Is it tariff stuff?
Canadian tariffs.
Oh.
Yeah, Canadian tariffs news.
Oh, is that why people are looking up war crimes? Canadian war crimes? So I was getting a bit of a search in one of the shorts I made for Buck Starts Here.
Are you serious? Yeah. Canadian war crimes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, God, dude. You want serious?
Crazy.
Yeah, they like no prisoners taken in World War One or World War Two, some battle they were. Like they just shot them all.
Oh.
So, yikes.
Yeah. Thought we had a prisoner, but they were faking.
Jeez. So I was wanting to re-offer this move.
Ready to nerd out on the tech shape of tomorrow? Voices of Blockchain, the official podcast of Boston Blockchain Week 2025, is back for season 2. We're featuring pioneers rocking Web3, AI, and blockchain innovation. So get the scoop on the people powering the next wave of innovation by subscribing now wherever you get your podcasts. And join us for the fun in September at bostonblockchainweek.com for the killer talks, epic vibes, and top-tier networking. And if you happen to run into me or my wife, come see us because we probably have unused drink tickets. Eric, why should people listen to season 2?
I'm really excited for season 2 because what's interesting is that we talked about the founding of America. You know, we set that foundation. And now we're going to watch America try and build a house that will become divided and burned down.
And, we're going to watch them fail spectacularly.
Yeah, we're going to watch them fail spectacularly. It's going to end with the nation ripping itself apart, the founding of the best Virginia, and, you know, the suspending of habeas corpus. about as Boston getting, but... What's going to be cool is what emerges from season 2 is the foundation for the world's largest, most advanced economy.
You visit the website, buckstartsherepodcast.com, to stay up to date. We'll see you all next week. Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
So 940s, I wanted to re-offer 940s. This was at like So like 9:30, 10 Eastern time, I was like, you know what? Like the 35 to 45, maybe 50s, would like to reoffer kind of that. And normally I would just throw that trade on.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I thought that's what I want to do. But I was like, well, you know, I'd really actually like to see us attempt to close back above like 960s and then fail to like be able to, on from an hourly standpoint, fail to be able to close above that. Then also I wanted to get some like hourly stats in my favor. And I was like, well, I had this whole line of consciousness of like, oh, if I could get this, this, and this, that'd be awesome. I put the trade on, and all I wanted to see tested was those equal hourly open and close at 882 from like basically the 960s, 970s. Well, like that trade didn't set up till like 2 o'clock in the morning. One of the things that I've been doing is going, okay, if this trade pans out to get me this 883s or whatever, then how can I create a risk profile on that idea,
mm-hmm.
That is workable? So what would I be happy with? Like if I'm going to, what can I risk? How can I size? Blah, blah, blah. And so I think that's another aspect that I've.
Adjusting your sizing based on your target.
Entries come a little bit slower. I'm not as quick to enter, and I'm kind of looking at like, okay, I'm probably only going to take this one trade. So how do I want to size this trade? And what am I comfortable with based on where I am in the week or in the day or whatever? And so then like the minute like enter on this exact tick, it's not as big of a deal.
Yeah.
So I might layer, you know, say a 10-point range, like an entry here, an entry here, an entry here, hoping to get all three of those on, but knowing maybe I only get two of them on. Like taking less partials and a little more like, what is the idea?
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that we go trade to where? Okay, well, based on where we are in the week, we're not going to play with a whole lot of partials. We're just going to go, we're going to scale in and then take it all in one pull, or maybe we'll scale a little bit and then we'll hold a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then I don't really look at it that much, you know. Now today I took a couple trades today that were more like normal trades for what maybe you'd be accustomed to seeing, where it's like, okay, we rolled over out of this range. We made a big rotation down. We made two smaller rotations down. Sellers are kind of getting stuffed. I'll take the next failed swing low, and I'll take it to whatever this, you know, whatever high I was targeting, whatever local swing high.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I don't know, dude. It's just been a little more enjoyable. Fewer and further in between. Not as much like. I don't know what kind of pressure I felt or something, but definitely feel like way less of that. Just like, yeah, whatever happens.
There's almost like a pressure to like be good too, right? I'm sure that doesn't help. Like you don't want to eat shit every day on camera.
I don't want to eat shit every day, but I did a lot of that. I think what I cared more about was activity. I wanted to be active when people were there because I really felt awkward if I came into the day green already.
Yeah.
And like banks and you and maybe other people that I had message or something about an idea overnight, they would know like, well, but like that just never felt right to me. I put myself in the shoes of the people in the room, and I wouldn't want to hear about a trade that happened overnight if we didn't talk about it, you know?
Well, and they're there to focus, not to celebrate.
Yeah. So yeah, man, I've enjoyed it, and I feel like any pressure that I was putting on myself is definitely not there anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just a little more enjoyable to just kind of, and like I said, making less decisions less often. I think I'm making better decisions when I do make them.
Yes. Yes.
That mental stamina is like very high right now.
So one thing that I found is I don't think I'm good at making multiple decisions a day. Like I'm much better if I'm making one or two. Bear, what about you, dude? Why was your trade count so low this week?
Yeah, Bear.
You said you only had one? You're on mute, dude, I think.
Yep. That's a $5. You owe us $5.
$5 in the mute jar.
Ooh, all right. Right. You have my Venmo. Yeah, so actually today it was I had one trade today in my funded accounts because I was actually sitting on the plane during the open waiting for them to finish boarding.
That's right.
So yeah, I had so pretty sorry. Good internet. I was tethered up.
You got to start over. I just blew a sneeze out. Laura, I'm so sorry. I tried to get to my mute button. I'm out of practice. I missed it.
I was just worried. I thought you might have sprayed the whole whoever's off to the right of you.
That's
there.
My dog. It's fine. I'm so sorry. Bear, start over with
Bob. I can mute. Was your... I can mute your track, you know.
Well, my bad. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's all right. We needed the humor break.
All right. All right. All right. Sorry, dude.
So this morning I only had one trade in my funded account because I was actually sitting on the plane.
Yeah.
During boarding, when the market opened. Yeah, you know, I
were you
I
trying? Were you enough. Trying though? Were you trying to?
Yeah, I was. I there was definitely some incentive to get that, you know, that magical $200 day under my belt, which was my other reason for just taking the one trade. And I had really good internet. I was tethered to my phone, so I wasn't worried about that. And actually, that I kind of laughed because that look above and fail, I caught the pulse up, hit my first target, and then just left the runner on. And, you know, so it came up and it did that look above and then started coming back. And I'm like, yeah, we're just going to flatten that.
Are you talking about ES? Like after, like, what was that? Around,
NQ this morning, okay. Right off the open.
Gotcha.
And then I also, my downfall was the Lucid eval test account. It was I caught a good trade on the up, and then I got caught in a bias.
How does
in overtraded?
So how does that Lucid account work? Because it looks like there's a two stage, but it also looks like each stage is like half of what a normal prop account would have you targeting. Like instead of 2,500, it's like 1,250 for each leg, so the total is 25.
But on the test accounts, it's a one shot.
It is a one shot.
You can pass it in today. Yep, I have done it.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah, on the test accounts, it's just get over the target. So you know, 150K accounts, your target's $9,000.
Yeah.
So you just get over that $9,000 mark and close
it
out.
What are the rules they got? Do they still have that like no news trading rule?
No, they've never had a no news rule with Lucid.
Trade Funder, right? Or is this a different one?
No, Lucid Trading.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of Trade Funder. My bad. I was looking at the one that To Your Flipper had been affiliated with.
Oh yeah.
They've got a really interesting like test account, kind of like the same thing it sounds like Lucid has, but it theirs looks like it's broken up into two legs. Where instead of like for like a 50K instead of a $2,500 target, I think there's like two stages of like 1250, but the drawdown is the same for both of it seemed kind of strange the way it was put together. But.
Yeah, I've been playing around with the Lucid accounts. Honestly, my biggest motivation with Lucid, I had a few different motivations, but the biggest reason I've stuck with it is they give me a free MotiveWave license.
Yeah.
So they give me an opportunity and. To work with MotiveWave and I've got access to some proprietary tools in MotiveWave that were interesting. Ooh. It was like, okay, I want to go check those out.
Were these, did you get these from the big money in Orange County that you're rubbing elbows with this week?
No.
Okay.
What a letdown.
Yeah. No, and then honestly, I've been intrigued. I've been playing around with their, because they had the consistency rule initially, like everybody else does, of, oh, 50%, 50%. And then they're like, yeah, we're just going to take that off. And then it became literally a, you know, one day to pass. And there's no setup fee.
Yeah. That's
so I'm
nice.
Like, okay, in theory, you can just go in and buy an account and pass it in one day. Or they offer direct accounts. And I'm sitting here going, why would I pay more than twice as much to go direct to funded when I could just pass it in a day? You know, if I can't pass it in a day, what am I now? Which, unfortunately, though, that also leads to a lot of, you know, overtrading. Because they do have some tight contract limits. So their small account, 50K account, you're limited to four contracts, four minis, 40 micros. And then their 150K account, you're limited to 10 contracts.
Jesus.
If you're trading, that's so much.
I know, right? Thank you.
I said it.
Yeah.
Right.
You can do a lot of damage with five micros.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, let alone 10? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you think it's sustainable?
So now what's interesting, yeah. I don't know what their numbers look like on the back end.
Yeah.
Their tougher rules come out on the other side when you actually get funded. Mm-hmm. That's when their consistency rule kicks in, you know, consistency about how much profit per day and how much profit you can take out.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm not a huge fan of that. Honestly, you know, I've been doing stuff with Top Step for 5 years now.
Yeah.
And now, you know, their rules now are so simple. It's just like, you know, I don't have a lot of incentive. The biggest struggle I've had is, you know, their growing pains with their platform, the Project X platform, Top Step X. And
got split take profits coming in? At least I think I saw TFD's X platform is announcing that, where you can finally have, instead of just take it all off at when you drag your take profit and actually split it now?
That's rumored to be coming any day now to Top Step X. Honestly, I haven't been paying attention to any of their platform news, so that might have hit this week and I just missed it. Supposed to be coming this week to actually set up actual bracket orders, which would be really sweet.
That. I've been dying for that.
But, you know, the other thing too, though, is Top Step, when they have platform issues, they make it good. They had platform issues yesterday morning, Thursday morning, and they literally just came in and said, okay, we're erasing everybody's losing trades.
Yeah, it's not the first time they've done that either.
Yeah, and that's been their pretty consistent approach.
Two times where I was like, hey, there's free trades today.
Platform problems? I'm going all in.
Yeah. Well, and like, I kind of laughed because my funded account, I'm like, why does it say I have zero trades yesterday? Oh, because I took three trades and they were all losers.
That's one where if you find yourself unable to close a trade with Top Step, try a couple times, but if you can't do it after that, just let it go. Just let it go.
Let it go.
The only thing that can happen is it could be really good.
And then I laughed because I was trading. Not advice, I was also. Yeah, not financial advice. Yeah. So yesterday I was also trading a 150K combine with Top Step. And I had like 1500, I think I had like 1500, maybe $2,000 of profit. And I'm like, cool. Hey, that's a great day. Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Hang it up, walk away. And then after they fix the remove all the negative trade stuff, I get an email at like 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon going, congratulations, you passed. And I'm like, what? Oh, they deleted my losing trades, which like added like $1,800 to my profit, would push me over the line into the 159. Oh, cool. Okay.
I think I've seen that happen to some people where it really screwed them on the consistency portion for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where that's all of a sudden they had like an $8,000 day. And so now they've got to get to 16,000 to hit the consistency rule, which, you know what, to me, long-term, that's just, I don't know. I think it's just helping you be a better trader.
Feels like punishment. I mean, yeah, it probably is better to learn to take base hits, but I don't know. I don't like it. Baba, I see you shaking your head over there too. I don't think we like anything that handicaps your upside.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I appreciate the fact that they do make things right. I mean, I will say, quote unquote, make things right. I think when the process of making things right makes your journey 2 weeks longer. That's kind of like, oh man,
yeah.
That sucks. Well, but you got also you got a lot of situation.
Yeah, if you're in a situation where you blow past the goal that far, you were really overtrading to begin with, in my opinion.
or you forgot about an order.
I can't say that hasn't happened to me. Now, what I will come back and say about consistency is that is one thing that I've been noticing. I have been trading the larger combine account just for reasons. And I have really seen myself of if I get over about $2,000 in profit, I will get upstuck. And the odds of me like over trading that into the hole goes up significantly. And so that's why I was saying is like, you know, I started to learn this about myself and just go, and I'd have a day in there and I'm like, oh, $2,000. Cool. Awesome. Turn it off. Walk away.
Yep.
Turn it off. Walk away. A runner, but that's it.
Do you just, you know, you just scale the, I mean, I just, if I'm, I haven't traded a 150K combine in a hot second, I don't think, but.
Oh yeah.
Do you just scale your sizing with the risk available to you and you kind of plan like, okay, if I lose 10 trades in a row, then I blow this combine, so, you know, on a 50K and you just multiply that up based on the risk available, or. How do you typically approach that? I'm curious.
No, honestly, I try to keep the same risk profile. The reason I want to trade 150K is that so when it goes into a funded account, I've got a bigger drawdown to work with. I've got that $4,500 drawdown initially until I get, you know, the account built up. And I look at that because if I say, okay, if I stick to my same daily R and I say, you know what, I'm not going to risk more than $450 in a day. Now it's a 10-day account. Mm-hmm. Whereas a 50K account with a $2,000 drawdown is a four and a half day account.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yep.
That's my motivation.
You know, my brain goes to time and like leverage cost. So on the first day of an account, I would have always been the most aggressive. So like day one, I've got no time in this. I only have the cost of the account, and this is the cheapest the leverage that's offered to me. It's all funny money anyways, but as far as the math of it goes, right now this is all on all this buy down, all this drawdown is on their dime. You know, yes. The $2,000. Once I make $1,500, then $1,500 of my work is part of that. Then I'm only getting $500 of their work or their drawdown. And so it's like I've got the least amount of time. On the first day, I'm going to swing the biggest bat because I'm taking that from them. But if that bat swing,
if you hit it,
if that bat swing goes well, I'm halfway done with the account. And now I treat it like I've only purchased $500 of equity from them. The $1,500 that I made is mine.
You're just trying to start with the basically.
So it's
leg
like a
up.
Game.
Yeah.
It's like a game theory thing. I'll do the same thing if
okay.
Or I would do the same thing if I had a trade. One, let's say in one morning I made, you know, $800. I may come back later and take 400 of that and put on maybe a bigger position size or multi-leg into something with micros or I'll just put on minis and, you know, have a wider stop and use some of that I made. Cause intraday you have more padding, right? Like if you make 1,000, you have that 1,000 to lose plus the 2,000 draw.
Yeah.
You know? So yes. It kind of, I blame Flary for that line of thinking, but that's definitely,
I think it makes a lot of sense.
That's definitely the mode that I would take to those most often.
It's not
the most responsible way. But
well, it prevents you from sinking a bunch of time into something.
That, I mean, that's really what it came out of, was that whole burn fest in 2024. I was like, man, I'm not going to grind on one of these.
Now, when you're thinking about the time in an account, do you think about the, you know, the days that you invested in passing the combine?
Yeah, I mean, well, it depends on if you also, you know, if you give your first fruits to a cash account and then you switch over to combines, then it's not such a big deal. But if you were like, if you were just dedicating time to passing a certain number of accounts, then yeah, I mean, every day you do that is, gets you closer to the goal you're going for, but you're not making anything, and that money you're not gonna do it. You're not paying a bill with that.
I'm not trying to pay bills with them.
I spent a lot of time doing just that, but for me, it was this is a way I don't blow my own capital while I learn.
Yeah, I mean, it's the cheapest leverage you could get, dude. Go to EdgeClear and tell them you want to give them $300 and then give you $2,000.
I tried. They said no.
They say no. They'll negotiate the rates a little bit for you. They'll get you something, but they won't get you that.
Nope.
I mean, I guess the closest you'll get to something like that is with like AMP maybe or something, or like a discount broker. But
I have been doing that more the last bar. It only costs you your kneecaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I have been doing that a lot the last couple of weeks, along with just limiting my trading time, which has been really positive.
Yeah,
that's huge. This week's been amazing. I've cut my window of trading to down to like an hour to an hour and a half, and then just literally turn off the machine and leave. But along with that, what you were just talking about, I give my first fruits to my cash account, my funded accounts. I'm not trading a cash account right now,
but I give my first fruits to the funded account. That's the same thing.
I've been training myself to, if I get a couple of good trades in that, just celebrate that and walk away and go, hey, you know what? God gave me $300 today. You know what? Awesome. God, give me $1,500 today. Sweet. Well, and then turn that off and then go trade the combines.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of stuff in real estate over the last couple of years in addition to trading. And one of the things I think about is we're always underwriting properties and trying to figure out which properties cash flow a certain amount, blah, blah, blah. What occupancy does this market support at what rate and all this with these amenities, blah, blah, blah. And I found myself over the last month thinking of my trading through the lens of like one of our properties, like, you know, if my rate on a property is like $350 a night or $450 a night or $500 a night, I know for a rate on a property, like what that yields over the course of a year. And it's funny. That's just bled over into my trading. And I think much more through that lens, like, than I do through the Twitterverse, you know, $1 million day lens. I think that may be probably a more healthy way to look at it, you know?
Yeah.
To the point that you made about, a funded account or even an like XFA, I guess is XFA or a live account, in my opinion. If it's not a combine, combines are still working towards a goal, but once you get over that hump, in my opinion, like that is as real, maybe you get a little bit easier feels in the XFA or something. I don't know. People say that.
I don't think so.
but my point is,
I think I get worse feels most of the time, but yeah.
My point is that is like real money that you can really take out and really do something with. And so at that point,
yes,
like, no one should have anything. No one can say anything negative.
The only thing I would say is that just make sure you take the money out of there. Don't leave it in there for too long.
Yeah, there's always a, you know, a balance to that for sure, but I definitely have made the mistake of having a very large balance in account like that and only taking out a little, you know, 10% of it, 20% of it, and you know, you're three or four times the drawdown you started with, and you're holding that as a balance. I think that's
There's no reason to.
Yeah. You're insulating. You're basically hedging for yourself to be an idiot because you give your you know what
right.
I mean?
But yes, but yeah. In doing that, are you enabling yourself to be an idiot?
You really are. You're not only hedging. I would say hedging, but through a negative lens. You're building in the like. The person in chat said they give you too much rope to hang yourself. You're literally making even more rope to hang yourself because it's definitely easy. I did it. I mean, I've melted five figures in 48 hours.
Well, you also have the other risk too of the what happened.
What
last
happened
year.
To the other one? Yeah. If they go under, which I mean, I'm not worried about that with Top Step, but
But I mean, I remember that lesson really clearly. From all the work that we actually, I think we were all there, the work that we did with Fleury and some of the conversations that we did. And part of his routine was every Friday, he was drawing the account down to a base level. Mm-hmm. So that Monday morning, he started with the same amount. There was no extra cushion in there. There was no temptation. There was no, you know, it's you see some people that let those accounts build up to the point where they can take a ludicrous amount of contracts. And it's like, you know what? Don't give yourself that much rope.
I've seen what I can do with a little bit of rope. I don't need to give myself a lot.
You know, dude, I can blow a lot with a few contracts, let me tell you.
I really like what you just said. And I think we just need to mention it again or focus on it for 2 seconds before we wrap this up. And that is, you mentioned that Fleury would like start over every week. And I think one of the things that I have realized and why I have enjoyed less time in front of the screens is because there is actually not a finish line with this.
No.
This will take as much as you want to give financially, time-wise, whatever, like, there's no time. There'll never be a point where it's like
the market's like, right, never going to give you an award and say you're done.
You paid your dues, man. You're good. You know, we got it.
Yeah.
So that idea of like every week is a new week or every month is a new month. Pay yourself and then go back out into the wilderness and find it and kill it and bring it home. That's tough. That's not ideal.
Yeah.
What he just posted in chat. There's not a mountaintop you get to where you just yawn and lean back and all the money flows in. Like, it's definitely, there is a grind aspect that I think a lot of people are trying to get past. And the reality is every day is a new day. Every opportunity is a new opportunity and your account will, you know, you will always have to go out and make it happen, whether you're trading two micros or two minis or five minis or whatever. You will always have to put on the risk. You will always have to handle the result, and you will always, and every day that will be there. And so I think
over the years.
Yeah, I think the recharge or like the feeling I have is like kind of like an exhale, like, yep, this is what it is. And, you know, if I go every day, every open, wide open, whatever, like it's the same thing. Like it is like a droning, never ending thing. So, on the flip side, if I choose carefully where I want to interact, limit some of that decision fatigue and kind of take a little breath, it feels much more enjoyable and much more sustainable, like mentally, I guess, or like just fatigue wise. I just feel better.
I agree with that.
But even over the years, that's one of the things that I think some of the better long-term traders, you know, multi-decade traders have been very clear about. And I've tried very hard to take to heart is that, you know, it might become easier to maintain your emotional discipline over the years, but you still have to maintain it. Trader Dante, you know, when his, I quote him exactly for multitude of reasons, but because I'll screw it up for one. But he basically says, you know, every morning he sits down at the desk and he reminds himself that he's only one stupid trade away from bankruptcy.
Oh my God, right? I think that's been, I think, the biggest struggle is just coming to grips with what I'm capable of and like really understanding, I think, what Flaherty was talking about the first time he said that on this program to us. Like, yeah, I think I get it now. I know what I'm capable of, and it does keep me up at night. It does make it hard to play straight sometimes, and it does make me want to make sure that that account balance never gets too high.
Yeah. And too, like those little rewards, I mean, whether it's $1,000, $5,000, whatever, $500, whatever it is, $200, I don't know, whatever to you, you know, there is definitely no substitute for seeing that move from the account into your bank and doing something with it. And I think far too many people stay in the cycle of accounts and never realize that, or don't appreciate that, or don't reward themselves in some way or another, even if it's in a combine, you know, and you're like, hey, I made 25% of my goal for this whole account, and one day I'm going to high five myself, you know, good job, and I'm going to reward myself by not having to look at any of this stuff the rest of the day. Like, yeah. I'm freed up. And I think whatever type of reward you can offer yourself for whatever stage of this whole thing you're in, I think it's super important to do so.
Yeah.
And obviously, absolutely, as that becomes dollars, then it's a lot more enjoyable.
Well, and then you get into that stage where you see that SMS notification from your bank, ACH deposit received. Just like, yeah.
Well, I think hallelujah. Sounds like a happy note to end on.
Happy note.
Yeah. Much better than last time. Tried to end on a... No. Just teasing you, Bear. All right,
that's never good. Let me live that down. Never let me live that down.
That's gonna do it for the episode today. So join me in thanking Baba and Bear for joining us tonight. You can do that by, well, there's nothing really to click on in the show notes. Just you know, tell your friends, have fun, leave us a comment, like it, whatever.
Any of those have a things. Great week.
Do all that stuff. Yeah, have a green week. We'll see you all next week, maybe, or maybe the week after. I'm not sure. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, see how it goes.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.